You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Listen, we're having fun already. We're going to have even more fun before we run out of time this evening. You are listening to the Political Cesspool. Once again tonight, as we have been every week since the early fall, in the top 10 most listened to shows in the country right now online. Again, that is not even factoring into account the audience, the robust audience that joins us each and every Saturday night on the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and certainly our flagships here in Memphis, AM 1380 and AM 1600. I'm James Edwards. Keith Alexander, thank you so much for your contributions, as well as Peter Scoop Stanton during the first hour of tonight's live broadcast. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who has been here with me since before the start of the show, is still with me now live in the studio. It's now his time to shine, along with, of course, Winston Smith, who is joining me to present his annual Top 10 Most Hateful Occurrences of the Year That Was. And we're going to get into that in full force here this second hour, and then Winston and Eddie will stay with me during the third and final hour when we get into the main event, which is a countdown of the top 10 moments of the political cesspool in 2013 and where we expect and hope to go in the year to come. Folks, it's a celebration tonight. You know, the holiday season to me, we always say Christmas and not holidays, but if you had to say holidays, as far as I'm concerned, what you're talking about is the time beginning in late October with Halloween, yeah, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then New Year's Eve and Day, respectively. Those are the holidays in the holiday season: Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And it really, here in the political cesspool as well, it begins with that time right around Halloween when we celebrate our birthday each and every year on October 26th, and then we have a lot of fun for the remaining couple of months of the year. And, of course, it culminates tonight with the Year in Review show. And, Winston, you always play such a big role in that. How are you tonight, my brother?
I am doing so well, James. I had a great time with my family today. We went out to the Smithsonian Museum of American History, and just had a really good time. Terrible traffic on Interstate 66, but that's okay. Had a good time anyhow.
Well, I know you're loaded for bear tonight to present to us the top 10 most hateful occurrences of 2013. And again, as I mentioned, folks, 2013's year in review for the political cesspool is forthcoming in the third hour. But before we begin to count down from 10 to 1, Winston, your list, let's introduce the elder statesman of the four remaining political cesspool hosts, myself, Keith, and you included. Here is Eddie the Bombardier Miller.
You got it right, son. This is the statesman, the cultural statesman. How you doing tonight, my brother Winston? It's so good to see you tonight, and it's so good to be here with all the political cesspool audience. I look forward to this every single week. It's really good. So what you got going on there, Winston?
Eddie, well, as has been my wont for the past several years, I compile a list of the well, it first started, I was giving the top 10 most hateful quotes for the year. And, you know, the quotes were good. The audience loved them. But then I expanded it to just calling it the Year in Hate, in which I remind folks of the top 10 most hateful occurrences, or the top 10 most venomous examples of hate for the past year. And I got to say, this past year has been the most hateful year I can remember.
Wow.
I just don't know when the true haters have been so venomous and so violent and so, well, just plain old hateful. It's getting worse.
Eddie says that he concurs with you, Winston, and he's going to add a supporting commentary to that. when we come back from the commercial break that's forthcoming here in a couple of minutes, we're going to go straight to you, Winston, and get start with number 10 and work our way down to number 1 before the end of this hour. But if it pleases my co-hosts, you and Eddie, I would like to quickly get to a caller who has called in. That is Joe. Joe in Pennsylvania. You know, we received, Winston, this week correspondence from all around the world, including from California to Maine, down to Florida and up to Washington State. So that is a four square. And, of course, many points of origin in between. We've received fan mail this week. And it's incredible when you begin to take into account, if I may use this word, the diversity or the diverse origins of the political cesspool audience from across Europe into Russia. And, of course, all across the continental United States, Alaska, Hawaii included. Now we go to Pennsylvania and Joe. Joe, what can we do for you?
Yes, hi. Been enjoying your show immensely here. In the first hour, I guess, you were talking about Lynch Law and you know, blacks hating whites and, you know, hammering them and stuff like that. There seems to be a pretty bad misrepresentation in the media on the word lynch, and it stems from a guy in Northern Virginia, I guess. The guy's name was Lynch, and he was a lawman, and he instituted lynch law there, and it was quite righteous, as I understand it. But anyway, I'm going to make this real quick. In the late 80s, I subscribed to Jared Taylor's newsletter,
right?
American Renaissance. And I remember, and I don't have it here in my pile of stuff, but there was an issue where there was a picture on the front of the magazine, and the title was When Whites Hunted Blacks. Do any of you guys ever remember that?
Well, you know, in the late 80s, I was 8 years old or 9 years old. I was born in 80. I actually met with Jared Taylor a few days ago in Baltimore, and we are in close contact, but I was not a subscriber to his publication in my formative years.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it seemed to really clearly outline the outrage that white people had in the I don't know what you would call it, the uppity attitude of black people, and they actually came across and acted as the law upon these black resistors in riots. You call them riots.
Well, here's the thing, Joe, that you have to remember is that blacks, even in the era of slavery, no one's necessarily defending slavery. We're not condemning it either because it's existed throughout all of cultures. I mean, I wouldn't want my family.
Well,
we're going to a break, Joe, but let me say this. You know, there was less than 5,000 examples in recorded history of American history of people being lynched, and some of those people included whites. You know, that's a bad month when it comes to black-on-white rapes here in America. And we're going to get back to Winston's top 10 list of most hateful occurrences right after this. Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks, but it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, let's go straight to the star of the show this hour, and that is my co-host Winston Smith, who has compiled the aforementioned top 10 most hateful occurrences, if you will, of 2013. Eddie and I will be offering supplemental commentary to each of the items that Winston presents for the audience this hour, if I can peel Eddie away from the Sam Bushman family Christmas card, who he cannot stop looking at. Hey, Sam Bushman, listen. 8 beautiful children, 18 years of age, I believe, and under. 20, from the age of 20 down to 5. He has 8 kids, the oldest 20, the youngest 5. And we're looking at his Christmas card and just marveling about it. It came to my home a couple of days ago. I brought it to the studio tonight. If I can peel Eddie off of that, he may contribute this hour. But if not, he can just keep looking. Because it is an impressive family. But Winston, you control this hour. Start us off at number 10.
Thank you, James. Before I do, Stephanie want to make sure to say hello to you and to Eddie.
And we thank Stephanie. We want to thank Stephanie for her contributions to the show this year. Of course, Stephanie is the courtroom transcriptionist who types as fast as I speak to aid Winston Smith in his ability to participate in the show, despite the lack of hearing. He can co-host a nationally syndicated talk radio show thanks to Stephanie. And so, Stephanie, we thank you. Winston, number 10.
Number 10 in the year in hate for 2013, Salon Magazine, for publishing a story that was initially titled White People Killed Detroit, but they soon changed it to Who Killed Detroit? Now, the article says white flight is what caused Detroit's collapse. And that's a politically correct way of not admitting that things are good where there are a lot of white people, and things turn bad when there are a lot of, where there are a lot of black people. White people in Detroit wanted to get away from the rampant violent crime and soaring taxes, so they left. Folks, that's not racism. That's just self-preservation.
Exactly, Winston. I mean, the question is, I mean, perhaps white flight contributed to the demise of Detroit. You could certainly draw that conclusion, but why did white flight manifest itself in the first place?
Oh, exactly, James. That's the question. If white flight did cause it, what caused the white flight? You answer that question, and you can solve a whole host of problems. Number nine, in the year in hate for 2013, Howard Schultz, he's the CEO of Starbucks. You know Starbucks, don't you, James?
Yeah, my wife, unfortunately, patronizes them from time to time.
Bad news. Anyhow, James, can you imagine the uproar if the CEO of Chick-fil-A demanded that supporters of sodomite so-called marriage divest themselves of stock in his company? Well, that's exactly what Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz demanded. He demanded that if you don't support gay marriage, then he wanted you to get rid of your stock in his company.
Ah, you know, Winston, I must admit, I had not yet, I was oblivious to this. This is actually a story I would have liked to have run on the block and talked about in greater detail on the show. Do continue.
Hey, Winston.
Well, you know, James, if this gentleman, Howard Schultz, if you like traditional marriage, that is real marriage, then he wants to segregate himself from you. But I thought gay marriage was all about everyone being equal. Oh, well, I guess Howard Schultz perverts are more equal than normal people.
Hey, Winston, Ed here. Hey, I got a comment about the previous topic you brought up. You know, white flight being the cause of the Detroit's crumbling, if that's true, then the passengers deserting the Titanic caused the Titanic to sink. You know, the Titanic was already sinking, and they couldn't stop that. You know, and secondly, you know, with Starbucks, one of the greatest mysteries to me is why Christians will still patronize Starbucks. I go to supposedly a hardcore Christian church, and I know people there, and they know what's going on with Starbucks, and they still refuse to desert that company when there's plenty mom-and-pop companies in Memphis that are far better. But that's a big mystery to me, Winston. I'm so glad to have you on the show tonight. I'm going back to Sunboy now.
Yeah, that is actually a quite hateful comment when compared and contrasted to Phil Robertson's very innocuous and benign comments regarding homosexuality. It's sinful, it's illogical, and you see the furor that created in the so-called establishment press. Phil Robertson didn't say he didn't want any homosexuals to watch his show. That's exactly the equivalent of what Howard Schultz did with his Starbucks stockholders.
Exactly.
All right, number eight, Winston, if we will.
Number eight, the Philadelphia Eagles, for firing Riley Cooper when he used the N-word. Some of the blacks on the team said they could no longer trust him, and his presence would cause tension in the locker room. You know, James, it's amazing how we white people can totally turn the black community upside down just by using a word that they use constantly. The N-word in more ways than one. All right, number seven. The black mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter. This year, Philadelphia Magazine ran a story titled Being Black in Philly. And the author committed an unpardonable sin by asking several white people about racial issues in the city. And blacks in Philadelphia were absolutely outraged. And Mayor Nutter, being black himself, threatened to shut down the magazine. And he demanded an investigation by Philadelphia's Human Rights Council, which is just a branch of the city government that's tasked with harassing and persecuting white people.
I do remember that one. And of course, I remember the Riley Cooper incident as well. He said the N-word, I think, in a single occurrence on his own time, which would be, you know, certainly 100 times fewer than any of his given black teammates might refer to one another in a given day. And he was subjected to all sorts of scorn. He was given a pardon by Michael Vick, the felon and dog fighter, for using the word, and so he was therefore granted access back to the team, and he's had a fairly good season. The Michael Nutter incidents, again, coming from the city of brotherly love, what do you expect?
I would bet your life that Michael Nutter has used the word himself.
Well, listen, I have no doubt. Look, who hasn't at some point or another, if we're being honest? And I've got a story to say about that when it comes to my top 10 list a little later on. One of the examples included in that is the experience I had in taping the reality series a couple of months ago, which will air in January. It's something we're anticipating, and it's a big, big deal. Well, they were talking about the use of the N-word, and I mean, everyone has at least said it, whether or not they're quoting someone or using it in some form or fashion. Blacks use it certainly more than whites, but I don't think there's anybody on the planet that hasn't said the word in some shape, form, or fashion one time, except for, of course, me, you, Eddie, Keith, and Sam. But no, I mean, seriously, folks, I mean, grow up. Anyway, I'm getting off course, but I have a anecdote about the use of the N-word, and of course, perhaps this will be in your top 10 list as the hour progresses. The Paula Deen phenomenon, became a pop culture icon in and of itself. Perhaps that will populate your top six. Winston, before we go to break, recap, if you will, and quick succession, numbers 10 through 6. I think we're down to number 6, so it would be 10, 9, 8, and 7.
Okay. Number 10 was Salon Magazine. Number 9 was Howard Schultz, who's the CEO of Starbucks. Number 8 was the Philadelphia Eagles. And number 7 was Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter.
Okay. You can replay the broadcast archives of this show after the fact. If you missed the rest of the story concerning any of those headlines, when we come back, folks, still two segments to go this hour, and we will get to the top six remaining occurrences of the year in hate and a little greater detail when the show continues. We're counting down Winston Smith's top 10 occurrences of hate in the year that was. Numbers 10, 9, 8, and 7 have been accounted for. Number 6, when we come back here on the Political Cesspool Radio program.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, don't forget that coming up in the third hour is what I consider to be the main event of tonight as we recap the top 10 moments of the political cesspool's 2013 year in broadcasting. We've touched on perhaps a couple of the items that will be listed in that countdown, and we're going to hear Winston's and Eddie's reaction to each of those top 10. Every year is a banner year. This year was no different. And then at the very end of the show, we're going to hear from none other than the owner of the network that syndicates this show itself, Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio, who will be talking about what listeners and fans of this show and our network can expect in 2014. And he himself will reminisce about perhaps his favorite shows of the political cesspool in this year. All that coming in tonight's third hour. But Winston, we've worked our way down in your top 10 all the way down to number 6 in the most hateful occurrences of 2013. Number 6, Winston.
Number 6, James, is Towson University in Maryland. The staff, faculty, and student body at that august institution did their damnedest to deny white students their right to associate as white people in a white student union. Do you remember that, James?
Yes, I do. And I'm hearing from our engineer, if you were on speakerphone, to go to a handheld set. If you're not, I mean, just continue on as you are. But yes, I remember that was earlier in the year. Every ethnic group you can think of has its own student association at not only Towson University, but every university that is under the sun here in the United States. If you try to have a homosexual students union, a Pacific Islanders student union, of course, a black student union or mestizo student union, oh man, the faculty and staff couldn't endorse you soon enough. If you try to have a white student union, a student union that would seek to advance the issues of the majority of any given student body at most of these schools, well, then it's a national news incident. And it's ironic, Winston, they would call the mere proposition of a white student union to be a hate crime or an issue of hate, and yet the white student union is making your top 10 list of the most hateful occurrences at number 6 for an entirely different reason.
Oh, that's right. James, this goes back to something that was written by a Washington Post columnist named William Raspberry. Several years ago, he opined, and William Raspberry is a black man, and he said, quote, "It is always illegitimate for white men to organize as white men." And there's something out there that has these haters convinced that anytime two or more white people get together, then it's some kind of threat, some kind of indication of rampant white racism, and it just cannot be allowed to happen. But here at Towson University, the people involved with trying to establish a white student union, they just wanted to have time and a place to meet and to discuss white culture, white contributions to society. They wanted to do everything that every other student union on campus wanted to do, and the staff and faculty and the student body, they just would not allow that to happen. So because of that, Towson University, number 6.
Hey, hold on, Winston.
Political cesspool list of year in hate for 2013.
Hey, Winston, I'd like to comment on that before you move on, Winston, if that's okay. Listen, of course they think, of course the the non-white population thinks it's illegitimate because, you know, they're always going to stick together. They're never going to turn against their own race, and they want to rule us. You know, I have a little experience with this. Some, you know, as you may know, I graduated University of Memphis back in 92 at the grand old age of 45. I wrote a letter to the editor of the Black Student Association there, and, you know, she'd been hammering on white people for quite some time. And I pointed out to her, I said, this university that you go to on your full scholarship was built by white people with white people's money. The medicine, when you go to the doctor here on campus, the very medicine that saves your lives, that, you know, whether you use penicillin, tobramycin, you know, any type of vaccination you get, that medicine was developed by white people. The roads that you drove owned to get to this university were developed. That engineering technology was developed by white people over a period of thousands of years ago, going all the way back to the Romans and beyond. You know, the engineering itself that built the university was built by white people. The culture was built by white people. You know, everything in society that's worth having, that you're enjoying, that you're trying to throw trash on, was developed and put forth by white people.
For all of mankind.
For all the, and that's right, and James is right, all of mankind enjoys it. Matter of fact, the old Southside High School in South Memphis is now torn down. There was an inscription at the top right-hand side that would have been the northwestern corner of the university. It said there's never been an instance in humanity where genius was not the delight of mankind, something like that. It's been many years ago. But white people all over the world, I don't care if the Japanese, the Chinese, all the wonderful products they're making, the automobiles, the telescopic sights, the cameras, were all developed by white people. They copied it and tried to make it better. But And in closing on that letter, I asked her, I said, I've always wondered how it felt to be a black woman and knowing that your boyfriend was just really, in the back of his mind, wishing that you were a beautiful white woman. If you're so proud of being black, why do you see so many black men that just constantly hound-dogging white women? I mean, they're obsessed with white women, and that cannot be denied. And I'm going back to my little brother-in-arms over here. My son, boy, rather.
Well, after that brief departure, Pappy, Winston, but some points there certainly were made in based in fact. Fact, Winston, let's go back to your list. I believe we're down to number five.
Indeed, we are number five in the year in hate for 2013. The Food Network. The publishers, the retailers, and everyone else involved with the destruction of Paula Deen. 30 years ago, Paula Deen was working as a bank teller, and a black man came in and stuck a gun in her face and demanded money, robbing the bank. And telling her husband about the harrowing incident, Deen used the N-word. Now, 30 years later, she was being interviewed for a bogus racial discrimination lawsuit, which has since been dismissed, and she was asked if she had ever used the N-word, and she explained, yes, she used it once during this incident. And her honesty during that interview cost her career on Food Network. And this was 30 years ago, folks, 30 years ago after this guy had stuck a gun in her face and threatened to blow her brains out. You know, you're going to say things that just come to mind. Well, I'm not going to say I can't blame her, but, you know, the Food Network just totally overreacted, as did the publishers. They wouldn't publish her book. Retailers dropped her retail lines, and it became a pig pile on. It was disgusting. It was freakish, and it never should have happened.
Well, and the only thing more disgusting than the occurrence itself was her debased groveling to no avail. And I'll tell you, you know, given on a scale, which would you say is the more hateful occurrence? The fact that she uttered the word once in the wake of an armed robbery of which she was the victim, or the robbery itself, which involved a black man sticking a gun in a woman's face during the middle of a heist. I mean, you know, which one is cause for more concern? And, of course, to ask the question is to answer it. And, Winston, if that is number five on your list, I can't even dare to imagine what's one through four. But let's try to get to number four if we can before this next commercial break.
Number four, thundering onto the list of the year in hate in 2013, for the first time, Oprah Winfrey for turning a complete non-story into an international incident, which turned out to be a faked hate crime. The version Oprah told the world turned out to be a lie, but that didn't stop the weeping and wailing in sackcloth and ashes. We're all over now. No justice, no purse. I'm sure white haters everywhere wanted to organize the Million Purse March, modeled after the Million Hoodie March of Trayvon Martin fame. But they called it off because they found out that you can't use an EBT card to pay for a $38,000 handbag. If Obama had an obscenely rich, white-hating sister, she'd look like Oprah.
Again, Winston, you're getting to a couple of occurrences that we covered in depth on the show throughout the course of this year. The incident involving Paula Deen, of course, was a topic of discussion during multiple weeks when it was top news, and Oprah Winfrey's incident as well. And if these are only numbers 4 and 5 in your top 10 list, and deservingly so, they both should be there. I can't even imagine what's 1 through 3. And those top three in the most hateful occurrences in 2013, we will hear together as Winston Smith presents them after these words from our sponsors.
Come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand, and then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-7777. 6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final show. If you can believe it, Winston and Eddie, if you can believe that this is the final show of the Political Cesspool, the Political Cesspool's 2013 broadcasting year, this is it. Where did another 12 months come and go? I don't know, but all I do know is this. We'll be back with you to ring in a new year and celebrate the first show of a brand new calendar next week. Next Saturday, it will be January, and just like any other Saturday, we will be here with you. It doesn't matter what month, what year. For the last 9+, we've been with you, and next week's will be no exception. Winston, we are down to your top three most hateful occurrences or manifestations, if you will, of 2013. Before we get down to numbers 3, 2, and 1, why don't you quickly recap 10 through 4?
All right, number 10 was Salon Magazine. Number 9 was Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks. Number 8 was the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 7 was Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. Number 6 was Towson University. Number 5 was the Food Network. And number 4 was Oprah Winfrey.
And if you are wondering why any of those individuals or entities are on Winston's top 10 hate list, go back and listen to the archive after the fact tonight. It'll be up for your enjoyment, as they all are, dating back to 2004. Talk about where this year went. Where did a decade go? Because I remember that first night on the air like it was yesterday, and that was wow, a long time ago, 2004. All right, Winston, number three.
Number three in the year in hate for 2013, Trayvon Martin Incorporated.
Wow.
Before his body was even cold, the thug's money-grubbing parents copyrighted his name and his image. They'd made some serious coin from their gangster son's death, and they were even the inspiration for the now-defunct Omar Thornton Memorial Fund. And now they're fishing for a publisher to market a book they have in the works, just like Crystal Mangum did. She's now in prison on a murder conviction. She'll be there for like 13 years. And when the book is published, George Zimmerman should demand a collaboration fee, or he should at least send him a bill for the bullet.
I actually saw where George Zimmerman, he is a, I don't know if I would use the word amateur, but he is an artist in some respects, and he came up with a picture, a work of art that he painted. It has an American flag with Liberty and Justice for All or something like that. It recently auctioned for over $100,000, which I guess would be a pittance compared to his legal bill that he had to foot for the defense of a righteous self-defense shooting. Winston, again, I'm marveling that these, the last couple of items, the Oprah Winfrey incident, the Paula Deen incident, and the Trayvon Martin story could rank so low. I cringe to listen to what numbers 1 and 2 will be, but listen, that whole thing with Trayvon Martin was well documented, not only by our peers in the mainstream media, but certainly on this show itself, and it will coincide with at least one of the rankings in our top 10 list. That show we had, the very next show we produced after the verdict was handed down, the acquittal of George Zimmerman, was well, I'll talk about it in the third hour, but it was a show not to be soon forgotten. Eddie, I want you to comment quickly on this, the whole George Zimmerman, not to revisit it because we spent so much time on this show earlier in the summer talking about it, but the fact that the establishment is so hard up to come up with a white-on-black murder for no good reason, that they cast a Hispanic man as the role of a white guy and perverted a self-defense shooting into a race hate crime, shows just how venomous the media's hatred for white people is.
James, you may not even remember this, but I'm going back to a comment you made during that time that whole thing was going on. You said, and I wholeheartedly agreed, and to me, this is scary. It showed that even though you live in a state, say like Florida or Tennessee, in Tennessee we have, concealed carry. You can carry a handgun, Mississippi, Kentucky. But if you dare use that weapon to defend your life, your family, and you do it in a righteous, justified situation, there's no guarantee that you will not be railroaded you know, illegally. The law be damned. You know, the common law be damned. The Constitution be damned. If the right people, or should I say the wrong people, if you get the news media on you and there's a minority involved, I mean, if it can happen, if it can happen to Zimmerman, it can happen to anybody. It can happen to any one of us. And that was the scariest part of the whole thing to me. And I think that people should take note of that and should try to do what little they can to make sure that doesn't happen again. Because, I mean, that was a complete travesty of justice. The guy, the Florida police already, where it happened, there was no evidence to persecute that guy. But it just shows how the law can just be, can go to a bunch of hoodlums, you know, to go to a mob. What you saw was a mob law there, James.
Well, it absolutely was, Eddie, and I think the moral of the story is if you are a white man and you are being beaten to death by a black guy, what you need to do is just go ahead and die, because if you live through it and you defend yourself, your life will be worse than death, and I think that's what Zimmerman perhaps is experiencing now. Anyway, Winston, back to you. Number two.
All right. I'm trying to scroll down to it here. All right, James, we're down to number two and number one, and it was really tough to decide which position these two recipients of this august honor would be placed. But I decided to place number two, the Obama administration. What can you say about Barack Hussein Obama? You know, earlier this year, if you like your doc, you can keep your doc. So said Bait and Switch Barry. And now Barack is a laughingstock. In his words, you can trust them, nary. Now, the list of the Obama administration's hatred against white people is long. It's very long, even for this year. So I had to choose just a few. First, there's the Obama IRS for targeting Tea Party people and other conservative organizations for enhanced scrutiny and investigation. Now, that enhanced scrutiny was not about the Tea Party, and it's not about the conservative organization per se. It was about white people, because the Tea Party, folks, has been portrayed as a whites-only organization. It's been portrayed as racist, and make no mistake about it, those were attacks not on the Tea Party per se, but on white people. And there's the Obama Department of Homeland Security for distributing firearm training targets showing pregnant white women, white children, ugly white women, ugly white men, etc. That's who they expect to encounter when they go in for the attack. These white people, white children, white pregnant women. Then there's the Obama so-called Justice Department, and Eric Holder, for denying a German family's request for asylum, even as Eric Holder said, quote, amnesty is a civil right, unquote. Now, earlier, Obama's uncle was in the country illegally, and he got asylum, even though he'd been convicted of a crime. And now, just this week, we found out that federal hate crime charges will be filed against a white guy who engaged in a so-called knockout game assault on a black guy. And knockout game assaults were no issue as long as the assaults were black on white. They began getting covered only upon an instance of a black on Jew knockout assault.
Yes.
And it became a hate crime the instant one white guy laid it upon a black guy. Now, black on white knockout game assaults they've been happening for years. And it's been no big deal, even though we've complained about it so we're out of breath. But this one incident of this white guy, it is precisely what the Obama administration has been waiting for. A mentally unstable and unattractive white male, a video of him using the N-word, and a video of him carrying out the assault. And an unholy triumvirate of the mainstream media, the hate industry, and white guilt will make this victim the new Rosa Parks. Now, folks, this means that we are now in the end game. Our enemies in high places have hated us and abused us for so long with impunity that their hatred has trickled down to our enemies on the street, such that they can physically assault us with little or no consequence to themselves, and we have no protection when we respond in kind. Mark my words, it'll soon be illegal for us to defend ourselves from any sort of assault, and all that will remain is for the funerals to take place. I think this is the beginning of the realization of Django Unchained. Any comments, James?
No, listen, Winston, I agree with you wholeheartedly on the hatred directed towards the founding stock of this nation from the Obama administration. You couldn't have drawn into more sharper focus that which Eric Holder and his Injustice Department have bestowed upon us with the hypocritical and selective prosecution of those who engage in the knockout game. And you summed it up entirely with why that is. Winston, we have less than a minute remaining for you to relay to us number one on the top 10 most hateful occurrences of 2013.
All right. The hater of the year for 2013 is CNN for its constant, brazen, and flagrant race baiting and anti-white bigotry, most notoriously with the Trayvon Martin scandal, in which CNN went into overdrive and afterburners to turn the incident into a white-on-black crime. From digitally lightening George Zimmerman's skin color and pictures of him to referring to him as a, quote, white Hispanic, to constantly showing pictures of 12-year-old Trayvon Martin. that's just one example. There are so many others of CNN's just anti-white hatred. There's the incident of the three thugs who killed the Australian ball player and student Christopher Lane, which one of the perpetrators was his mother was white, his father was black. But
Winston, hold up right there. We got to take a break. With all the time we have, we didn't have quite enough. We'll get to it at the top of the third.